Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on energy when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, they're banned from our public institutions, and they've been banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. And they're teaching these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions. We've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion? That's right, she can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. And that's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we all receive for their observance. Now, you know, every law has a penalty. You do not have to know what the penalty is to suffer from its effects. So whether you call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happen to be the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, why don't you go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine when you get there and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, I said I'd save the best for the last, so we're going to talk about solar energy here in the next hour. Solar energy is a bottom-up technology that you and I can put in for ourselves. I don't have to hook up to the grid. If I can hook up to the grid, that'd be even better yet. In fact, in California, they got a neat program out there. You buy a house, and then they build the house. It's put right into your mortgage, and they put the solar panels right up on the roof of your house. And the sun then, shining on the solar panels, produces the electricity that you're going to use in the house, and they size the solar array for the expected use that you're going to have in a normal, everyday garden variety California house. Now, the beauty of it is that you're hooked up to the grid. So let's say that it's overcast and raining, and you're not generating very much in the way of electricity there from your own solar panels, and so you need to draw some power off the grid. Well, okay, so you turn on the lights, you turn on your motors, and you get power off the grid. Now, you happen to be at work the next day, and the sun's shining, and you're not even at home. You're not using any power, but your electric generating system, the solar panels, are generating electricity and running your meter backwards. Remember, yesterday, you used 150 kilowatt hours, and today, you're generating 30 or 40 or 50 kilowatt hours. So every day that the sun is shining and it's generating and making electricity, it's putting power into the grid. Well, you had one house, five houses, 10, 20, 50, 100,000 houses, and pretty soon, you know, you're generating quite a bit of power. And what it does is it makes each homeowner energy independent. Well, at least for his electrical energy, he's independent. And in fact, in some cases, people are using less energy than they generate, and they actually get a check from PG&E every month for $40 or $50. And then on the other hand, maybe their power bill is $10, $15, $20 a month or $50 or whatever they use. Now, in Germany, they picked up on this and they said, look, we don't have a lot of coal and fossil fuels here. What we need to do is we need to encourage our population to use what's available, and what's available to everybody is solar power. And so they've gone on a solar power kick over there, and they're expecting to generate 20% of their electrical energy, which is the equivalent of all the nuclear generation in our country, 20%, about a fifth, from solar panels. And they have a government program. They've actually set out and said, top down, we got a top down program, and we want to encourage solar panels, which demonstrates what I've been saying all week, is that if you have a top down system, which is what the communist system is all about, we could have coal power, which is what we have here in America, or we could have solar power, which is what they have in Germany. Top down. The same communist system in Germany is encouraging the people to put in solar power, and the same top-down regime in America could do the same thing if we so desired. It's a political process, not rather than a market process. Now, I personally advocate the market process, and there's a market process that I just saw on PBS the other day. Let me describe it to you. There's a company in this country that puts out organic produce or organic foods. They're called Whole Foods. It's a chain of supermarkets that deal in organic and nutritious foods. And they've got a store up in Boston. Well, they signed an agreement with some company up there to put in these solar panels up on the roof of their store. And they signed a 20-year long-term contract with this energy company. And this is a bottom-up market decision. The Whole Foods business uses X amount, well, let's just pick a number, $30,000 worth of electricity per year in that store. So they sign a deal with not the electric company, but with a power supplier. And he comes in and at his expense puts in $100,000 or $200,000 worth of electrical equipment, hooks it into the store. They don't have to do jack squat. They just sign an agreement and says, we agree to buy our electric power from you, the solar power company. And they buy 100% of the solar power output. Now, they're still hooked up to the grid. See, they still hooked up to the power company. But the difference is they are going to generate X amount of power off of their own roof. And they don't have to put up a dime to do this. The power company does it. Now, the power company, we're not talking about the big power company, but this little independent power company, they're assured that they're going to make a return on their $200,000 investment, because they're going to get, of the $30,000 a year, they're going to get about half that, $15,000 a year for 20 years. How much is that? 15 times 20 would be $300,000. So they're going to put in $100,000 or $200,000 plant, and this plant's good for 20 years, and they're going to get a guaranteed return off of that because the Whole Foods store agrees that they're going to buy all of that power. It's good business. It's bottom up. And the big loser in this whole deal over here is going to be the municipal power company, because the $30,000 that they were selling year in and year out to the Whole Foods people is now going to be cut in half. About half the power. See, they could have provided all of their power, but their roof wasn't big enough to put up that many solar panels. And had the roof been bigger, they would have probably put in a bigger operation. Now, there's a second guy up in New Hampshire. Now, I'm picking these two places. One is Whole Foods and the other is in New Hampshire, because these are not places where you get lots of sun like Albuquerque, New Mexico, or Los Angeles, California. I mean, these are places where, you know, up in the northeast of the United States, where, you know, it's cold in the wintertime, there's a lot of snow. And here's Whole Foods now in Boston. They're going to get half their power from solar. And there's a guy in New Hampshire that built a house, and he paid $50,000 to put in the solar panels in the solar system. Now, $50,000 is a pretty good chunk of change, but when you're building a million-dollar house, this guy is an executive from New York, and he's retired, and now he wants to go into the retirement business, and so he builds himself a million-dollar house. Well, $50,000 out of $1 million is no big deal. $50,000 out of a $100,000 house is a big deal. Now, this guy put in the state-of-the-art, best that money can buy, solar system with all of the bells and whistles that you can think of. I mean, he's got an entertainment center, and he's got refrigerators and freezers, and I mean, he just got everything that you want in a home. It's his dream home, him and his wife. And they spent $50,000 on this, and they're 100% energy independent. They're not even on the grid. They're not even on the grid. He's got batteries as a backup system over here, and then he's got a diesel generator. In case the sun doesn't shine, his batteries go dead, then he cranks up the diesel generator. But this thing produces more power than he can use in a year, and he stores the excess power in his batteries. Now, I've got a little system out here that I put in for $10,000, and it doesn't run my whole house. It just runs a freezer and a pump for water, and it runs a couple of refrigerators and some lights and a washing machine and so on. It just runs the essentials in case of a power failure or an emergency or something like that. My wife said that she didn't want to be without a refrigerator. She didn't want to be without a washing machine. She said she'd like to have a freezer and lights, you know, to work and one thing and another. And I said, well, it makes all the sense in the world. Now, remember, here in our state, we can't hook up to the grid with our solar power, because if we could, the solar today is just about price competitive with the power company. In other words, I could put in, I had my solar man come out, and he sized up my job. He said, well, for $50,000, we can put in a solar power plant. It'll last you about 20 years, and this will include your batteries and the whole nine yards. And that's about $2,500 a year is what I'm spending for 20 years. That's about $50,000. So it's just about break even. It's not economically viable, but it's just about. Now, over in Germany, what they've done is they've put an incentive system on this. In other words, if you'll put in these solar panels, the government will give you a price incentive. They'll actually give you a subsidy. They'll give you tax advantages and one thing and another, and then you can sell your power back to the power grid and get a check every month. This encourages people to put in solar panels or solar arrays that are bigger than they actually need to run their house. And I mentioned that to you in the last program. If the power company here would buy power from me, I would build a steam power plant because I've got a lot of biomass here. I got a lot of wood. And I could put in a 100 kW plant, which is about enough power for 20 homes. But you see, the power company doesn't want the George Gordon Power Company competing and taking those 20 customers away from them. They don't want that. Actually, it wouldn't be bad business for them because they would pay me the same amount of money that they're paying to TVA to buy the electricity from a dam over in Tennessee and selling it to their customers for 8 cents. See, they buy it for four and they sell it for eight. Well, they could just as well buy it from me for four and sell it to their customers for eight, couldn't they? And for some reason, they just soon buy lots of power from TVA rather than buy a little bit of power from guys like me. But here in the Ozarks, there are literally thousands of little farmers just like me that have lots of woods and biomass that could put in steam generators, which would actually employ woodcutters to cut the wood and bring it in and burn the wood and make the steam and generate the electricity and put it into the grid. And it would help to make us energy independent. Now, obviously, it would not take the place of these huge, humongous 30-megawatt nuclear power plants. We're not saying that it would, but a thousand little guys like me could. You see, instead of having one great big power plant from the top down, we would have thousands of little power plants from the bottom up, and that would create employment for thousands of people. Just like the little stripper wells would provide thousands of jobs for thousands of people, producing just 10 barrels a week out of an old stripper oil well. Now, the big corporations don't like that kind of competition, and the power company doesn't want the hassle and don't want the competition. The truth of the matter is, it wouldn't cost them a dime, at least as far as I can tell, it wouldn't cost them a dime. But they go to our state legislature and they lobby, and so far they've been successful, and they have kept out this program that they have in California. Now, you people in California can actually practice bottom-up economics. You can divorce yourself from the power grid, or better yet, you can stay on the power grid and actually get paid a check from PG&E. And that's what they're doing in Germany. And that's what they're doing in Japan. Here's part of the story. Solar energy is energy directly from the sun. And this energy drives the climate and the weather and supports virtually all life on planet Earth. Heat and light from the sun, along with solar-based resources such as wind and wave power, hydroelectricity, and biomass, account for most of the available flow of renewable energy. Solar energy technologies harness the sun's energy for practical ends. These technologies date from the time of the early Greeks, Native Americans, and the Chinese, who warmed their buildings by orienting them toward the sun. Modern solar technologies provide heating, lighting, electricity, and even flight. Solar power is used synonymously with solar energy, or more specifically, to refer to the conversion of sunlight into electricity. And this can be done either through the photovoltaic effect or by heating a transfer fluid to produce steam to run a generator. Solar photovoltaics provides 0.4% of the world's energy use in 2004. So you can see that it doesn't provide very much so far. It actually has the same potential as does as geothermal. It could provide all of the electrical energy for everybody on planet Earth for thousands of years into the future with no greenhouse gases, if that's what you're concerned about. Well, then why aren't we doing that? Well, because it doesn't fit in with the program with ExxonMobil and Peabody Coal. That's why. And because ExxonMobil and Peabody Coal sent millions of dollars to your political candidates like Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama. And, you know, the political candidates out here live off of the mother's milk of politics, which is money. And that money comes from the big donors. It doesn't come from Joe Sixpacks and Sally Housewives like you and me. Come on, let's grow up and get real. Now, you and I, though, can make a meaningful change here at the local level. I want to show you why. You see, all wealth comes out of the ground. All wealth comes out of the ground. The bottom-up formula that was given to us by God, the creator now of the universe, is outlined in a statute in Numbers 33, verses 50 through 56. I'll just read it to you. It's also recorded in Deuteronomy 21, Numbers 18, Numbers 36, Numbers 27. It's in Joshua and Judges. I mean, it's all through the scripture. It deals with the inheritance law of the Bible. And so God's plan, his program, was to give us an inheritance. Americans don't want an inheritance. Never did, don't now, and probably won't any time in the near future. Americans want debt. Americans want security. Americans want arms and a suburban home and a job. They do not want an inheritance. They want employment. They want bond servitude. That's what employment is. When you're working for the man, you're a bond servant. We don't like the word bond servant or serf, and so we've changed that to employee. Makes us feel better. It's kind of like a garbage man. He does not want to be called a garbage man. He wants to be called a sanitation engineer. Okay, let's call the garbage men sanitation engineers, and let's call the bond servants employees. But it doesn't change anything. doesn't change the smell of the garbage can, and it doesn't change your economic status one iota, Joe. If you're working for the man, you're a bondservant. Now, the opposite to that would be wealth. The opposite to that would be independence. The opposite to that would be an inheritance, wouldn't it? Well, here's the statute. And the Eternal spoke unto Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan River near Jericho, and he said, you speak unto the children of Israel, and you say to them, when you're passed over Jordan and into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all of the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all of their pictures, and destroy all of their molten images, and totally pluck down all of their high places. And you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and you shall dwell therein, because I have given it to you. I have given you the land to possess it. And you shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. And to the more you shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer you shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth. According to the tribes of your fathers you shall inherit it. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. And moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. Now that's the kicker, that verse 56. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I'm going to do to you, you Americans and Australians and you Canadians, what I thought to do to the native inhabitants of the land that I'm kicking out and giving it to you. What I thought to do to them is what I'm going to do to you. So that's why I keep telling you, you know, there's a day of reckoning coming here, children. Pay attention now. Day of reckoning is coming. Now, we were told to drive out all these Indians in North America, and we decided, no, we're not going to do that because it's not kind and it's not gentle, and we want to follow George Bush, the kinder, gentler way. Well, okay, you didn't, and you're not going to. So up in Idaho, for instance, you made a treaty with the Nez Perce Indians, which we were told, don't make any treaties or covenants with these pagans that we're driving out. And we said, oh no, God, you made a mistake. You're not kind, you're not gentle. We're gonna fix your mistake here, and we're gonna make treaties. And so here in America, we made 376 treaties. Well, actually 374. There's two Indian tribes we didn't make treaties with. The Bruno Shoshones is one. Now, there's a second tribe there. I can't think of their name now. They're also in the Treasure Valley of Idaho. The Bruno Shoshones and one other. Blackfeet. I think it was just they're over at the... That isn't Blackfeet, but it's something with black something or other. Anyway, that's not relevant. But what is relevant, he says, that moreover it shall come to pass, I'm going to do to you what I thought to do to them. Now, what he thought to do to them was to drive them out of the land. So here in America, get ready, we are going to be driven out of this land. You Australians are going to be driven out of Australia. And you Canadians are going to be driven out of Canada. I didn't make it that way. I'm just reporting that that's the plan. That's what the New World Order calls for, and that's what God calls for. And that's what's going to happen. That's what I'm betting on. Now, how has this got to do with nuclear and solar power? Well, because we decided that we wanted to have a top-down communist program rather than a bottom-up inheritance program. It all dealt with economics. And with the bottom-up economic plan, all of us little guys owned the land. We went into the land and we homesteaded it. We had that plan here in America. It was called the Homestead Act. It was called the Land Patent Act of 1820, which evolved into the Homestead Act of 1837. Well, it was the Homestead Act that President Lincoln gave us in 1863, and it was repealed in 1963. Frank Church got in on the act. See, we used to have a bottom-up system in which the people went out and homesteaded 160 acres of redwood timber. And then along came the corporations and said, well, wouldn't you like to profit off of that? Wouldn't you like to sell your 160 acres to us? And so the corporation, which could not homestead, they went out and they bought the timber. Well, then as time went on, the people sold their timber and moved to the cities. When they sold their timber and moved to the cities, they became dependents rather than independent. Well, now, instead of being thousands and millions of little independent landowners, in which we owned all of the timber, and we owned all of the oil, and we owned all of the minerals, and we owned all of the natural resources today with our top-down system, we find that we, the little guys, are now locked off of the land, and that our federal government owns a third of the real estate. What they don't, the corporations own. And the corporations own all of the big farms, like ADM and Cargill and Ted Turner, by the millions of acres. And what do we have? Well, we got a mortgage on a little house in the suburbs, 30 miles from our jobs, where we have to have cars to get back and forth to work, where we have to pay $3.50 a gallon for gasoline to the five big oil companies that manage the top-down oil system. You know, boys and girls, it was a choice that we needed to make. It was a choice that we had to make, and we made it. It's kind of like moving your queen into harm's way, and your opponent takes your queen. And you suddenly look at the chessboard and you say, oh my God, my opponent has my queen. Well, the game isn't over. But let me tell you, you're suffering at a great disadvantage trying to play a chess game without a queen and your opponent's got a queen. The ultimate end of that game is you're going to lose. That's the ultimate end of that game. Now, unless we make some meaningful changes here, you know, to start with some bottom-up Ten Commandment type economics here, you people out there in radio land are toast, as the old saying goes. And solar energy gives us an opportunity to reestablish, at least, you know, in that little area right there, in that home that you've got, you know, that you should have sold in June of 2005 and you didn't, you hung on to because, you know, you wanted to live in that $500,000 house. It's now worth $400,000 and you owe more on it than the house is worth. It was a choice that you needed to make, Joe, and you made it. Well, that's what my old granny told me. She said, well, sweetheart, you made your bed, now go sleep in it. That's what she used to tell all the girls. Didn't tell me that, but they used to tell the girls that. You know, when they'd run off and get married, you know, you made your bed, sweetheart, go sleep in it. Yeah, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling The Law School at 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate, and that's because most of the authors and publications cited here on The Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by The Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, though, are mine, and they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. But they should. Now, for more information about The Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at area code 417, and then the number is 273-4967. All right, we're talking about energy. Energy, the big topic over here that everybody in politics and business and the greenies, you know, they're all talking about. Energy independence. You've been hearing that crap for, oh my gosh, 30, 40 years now. Jimmy Carter, you know, remember he said, we got to have energy independence. And Jimmy Carter and the politicians that have followed Jimmy Carter, including Jimmy himself, have never given us energy independence. We could have energy independence from the top down in our communist system if we desired. Or you and I, Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife, can have energy independence from the bottom up anytime we so desire. And in order for us to do that, we need to abandon the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto and embrace the 10 Commandments. I think the 10 Commandments is a better system. That's my personal opinion. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success and your political aspirations. Most people subscribe to communism because it's appealing to them. Henry Ford came to us and said, let me pay you $5 a day, leave the farm, come to Detroit or Ann Arbor, and work in my factory. It was a decision that we needed to make, and so we made it. So we left our inheritance. We left the bottom-up economy. And we moved to the city to work for Henry Ford as bond servants. He said, come work for me as an employee, a bond servant. Bond yourself to the Ford Motor Company. Well, hell, people have been doing that. They bond themselves to Toyota. They bond themselves to General Motors. They bond themselves to some employer. Many of you bond yourself to the United States of America and become soldiers. Or you bond yourself to the United States of America and become an FBI agent. Well, okay, but take a look at your economic position. You're landless. You don't have any land. God offered you land, and all wealth comes out of the ground. And those that recognize that are the people that are very judicious. See, I recognize that, and I want land. That's where I keep my cows. That's why I'm energy independent, and that's why I'm financially independent, and that's why I'm food independent. It's because I have the means of production. Now, it used to be in America that Americans liked independence. They liked being the land owner. But, you know, something came up. Henry Ford was one, and so we moved to the cities. Now, 97% of us live in the city. Some of them are big cities, some of them are little cities, but, you know, you live in the city. And for most of you, you are employees. Now, there's a lot of people that live in the cities that are independent contractors. And so we call you self-employed. You are a self-employed dependent of the government. Your food still comes from somebody else. You're not food independent. And your energy, your electricity, comes from PG&E or the power company. You're not energy independent. And your oil comes from Saudi Arabia, so you are not energy independent. Now, here was a story of a guy that I met over in, I think it was Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I think it's Harrisburg. And he's a little manufacturing guy. And he drilled five wells. He had a little land there. I've forgotten now, 50, 60 acres. Wasn't a big piece, but, you know, pretty good-sized piece of ground, 50 acres. Drilled five wells, and he hit methane gas. See, in the coal fields all over the east, you know, you people have coal there. And you drill a hole down in the ground, you can get methane gas, coal gas. He runs his manufacturing plant off of his own methane gas. He has been, but at that time, hell, that was 20 years ago. At that time, he had been running this business 28 years off of his own methane gas. He only had to go down about, wasn't very deep, 500-600 feet, about the same distance that you drill here for water. He went down and got methane gas. He's had gas in his manufacturing plant from these five wells, and four of them he doesn't use. He only uses one well. Not exactly sure why he drilled five, but he's got methane gas in all five of them, capped them off. Now, you know, that's an example of energy independence. It's entrepreneurial. If that guy can do it, other people can do it. It doesn't cost that much. You know, I had a water well drilled here a couple of years ago, and what did that guy charge me? I think he charged me $5 a foot. To get it cased, probably 10 bucks a foot. You know, you're probably looking at 10, 15,000. I mean, that's not out of sight. Now, the problem is when you drill a well, you don't know if you're going to hit methane gas or not. And you don't know if you're going to hit it in 500 or 5,000 feet. I mean, those are the vagaries, you know, of life. Used to be in America, you know, we Americans could go out and drill a hole in the ground. If you had drilled a dry one, well, you paid a lot of money to get nothing. If you hit oil, boy, you could make $1 million in short order. Lots of millionaires were made in Texas. Lots of millionaires in Oklahoma. What happened to all that wealth? Where is it going? The tragedy here in America is that we Americans gave up our inheritance. We gave up our land. Americans are now landless peasants living on the land of the government. Living on the land owned by the banks. You got a mortgage on your house, you're living on bank land, savings and loans and mortgage companies. Well, we could make some changes if we put our minds to it. And the first thing to do is to go back to the land. That's where safety is located. It's on the land. And that's where bottom-up economics, that's where the free marketplace starts. It starts with the land, with the people who own the resources. I mentioned to you that Humboldt County, when I was a kid, there were 237 lumber mills. All making lumber, just little companies out there making lumber. Some of them were big, some of them pretty small. I remember the Munson Lumber Mill out at Alder Point, long gone now, but Bob Munson ran that mill, and I think they were cutting around 100,000 board feet a day, and probably employing 30, 40 people. But it was a little family enterprise. That was my point. And Bob Munson controlled a lot of timber. Bob Munson controlled a lot of jobs. Today, that mill has closed down, been closed down for 50 years probably, and all those jobs are gone. And it's more efficient to produce that timber at Pacific Lumber Company with 600 employees producing 1 million board feet a year or a day rather than 100,000 board feet a day out of 10 little mills. You know, let's have one great big one. It's more efficient for big landowners. I don't deny it. But it's not better for you and I. Now, a $50,000 solar plant in a New Hampshire house provides independence for that one homeowner. Listen, if you can make one house energy independent in New Hampshire, you can make every house energy independent in America. The mere fact that one house can do it demonstrates that all of us can do it if we just put our minds to it. We don't need the government to come out here and subsidize us like they do in Germany in a top-down operation. We can do it with a bottom-up operation. In fact, if you're waiting for FEMA to build your house down in New Orleans, hell's going to freeze over before the job gets done. If you want to know who's really doing the work down there on the Gulf Coast after Hurricane Katrina, it's the little private entrepreneurs that are actually doing the lion's share of the work. Just little contractors that go down there and build houses. It's not the big government enterprises. It's not the big industries that are doing the work down there. It's the little guys. It's lots of little guys working together. or working independently for that matter. Practicing thou shalt not steal is much better than from each according to his ability and to each according to his need. The Communist Manifesto First Plank calls for the abolition of all right to property and land. God offered you the land in Numbers chapter 33. That's an inheritance. The 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, plank number one says, we need to divorce you from the land. And that's exactly what's happened to you, Joe. You've been divorced from the land. Now you got this little house in the suburbs, and you got a job as a bond servant working for Boeing Aircraft. When the hell did you trade your inheritance for a crummy job as a bond servant? Who taught you slavery or bond servitude, Joe? You didn't get that from Moses. You didn't get that from your God. You got that from Satan. You got that from George Bush, who told you that what you wanted was jobs, jobs, jobs. Well, okay, if poverty is what you want, you're on the right track, because poverty is what we're all going to get. Well, not quite all of us. Those of us that will obey God and keep his commandments will be fed with the heritage of our father Jacob. Let me show you that. There's a little bit more to it than economics. There's also a couple of requirements. There's some statutory requirements. But over here in Isaiah chapter 58, I believe it is. See if I'm right. Isaiah chapter 58, starting in verse 13. Concerning the Sabbath, he said, now if you'll turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and if you call the Sabbath a delight and holy, the holy of the eternal, honorable, if you call the Sabbath honorable, and if you will honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then shall you delight yourself in the eternal, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. And I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, because the mouth of the Eternal has spoken it. The heritage of our father Jacob is wealth, not poverty. The difference between being buried in debt with credit cards and a bondservant working for Boeing Aircraft with an adjustable rate mortgage which has buried you under usury for the rest of your life is owning land and being financially independent and owning the natural resources. From each according to his ability and to each according to his need has a lot of appeal. I don't deny it. And it's got a real neat soundbite. From each according to his ability. To each according to his need. And that fits right into a soundbite. That just sounds just real special, doesn't it? Stand in line and share the shortage. If that's what you want, you're on the right track. I think that independence is a better program. In those states where utilities buy power, you know, you can go into the power business. Yeah, you can go into the power business up in Idaho. You ranchers out there, for instance, in Colorado, there's an example of one rancher out there that said, hey, listen, where the wind blows, let's make money where the sun shines and where the wind blows. One rancher out there, if one rancher can lease his ranch for $50,000 a year, that's, you know, it doesn't make all of his income, but it makes 50 grand a year for him. You know, if you could make 10% of your income off of solar power and 10% off of wind power and 10% off of cattle and 10% here and 10% there, you know, pretty soon you're making your living off of a diversified portfolio. That's what we call it in business. We call it a diversified portfolio. If the wind doesn't blow, the sun is shining. And if the sun ain't shining, well, then the cattle are eating. And if the cattle are eating, they're probably giving a little milk. You know, so let's see what else we can do. But to do that, you got to have the means of production. And the people at Archer Daniels Midland and guys like Ted Turner, they're not dummies. Ted Turner doesn't own 1 million acres for no good reason. I don't know if it's 1 million acres, but it's a bunch. And Ted Turner understands that wealth comes out of the ground. That's where the money's at. The wealth is in the natural resources. The wealth is in the soil. Now, this thing of solar power over here has a lot of neat advantages. It's got a lot of neat potential to it. I pointed out that the Whole Foods Company signed up with some little independent electric company. Now, we didn't sign up now with municipal electric. They're already signed up with them. They signed up with this little independent guy who went out. He's probably a little solar producing guy. And he says, hey, listen, if I take these solar panels and I can get a long-term guaranteed contract, I can invest $200,000 now on a fixed rate mortgage and borrow the money from the bank and sell it to Whole Foods over here, and I'm going to make the difference. And he probably has a Keystone markup in it. As I recall, he didn't give the numbers, but I'm guesstimating he probably has a Keystone markup. He's going to invest $200,000 and he's going to sell the power for $400,000 over 20 years. He's going to make his payments. He's going to make a little profit. If he could get 1, 2, 5, 9, 11, 15, 25 companies to do that, he's got a neat little business. Now, that's what entrepreneurial business is all about. It's buy low and sell high. It's make it while the sun shines. And I think that was a heck of a good idea. It's good for business. It's good for free enterprise. It's good for that little guy. And I would rather see the power in the hands of 100 little independent power producers, like the rancher in Colorado, or the solar panel guy that's selling power to Whole Foods, than I would to see it in the hands of New York Edison or Pacific Gas and Electric. Now, there's a place for these big corporations, no doubt about it. There's no reason why we can't have White River Power Company. And I'm not opposed to you big corporations making money. I'm just opposed to your monopoly. That there's room for all the little guys out here to produce financial independence. And I don't think that the monopolies ought to continue to monopolize. And so we can break the monopoly not by voting for Hillary Barack. But it's not voting. Voting is the exact antithesis of the Ten Commandments. God in the Ten Commandments says, you shall have no other gods before me. Voting, democracy, is the antithesis of the First Commandment. It's idolatry. Voting is idolatry. The United States of America, this corporation that we created over here to take the place of God, to give us independence, to give us security, is just exactly that. It's a false god. Now, we'd do better operating as families, just working all by ourselves. Just George Gordon with his wife and his own children and his own family and his own land with his own enterprise does better for the Gordon family than working for some corporation. And there isn't any reason why us little landowners out here can't make a living. Now, remember, I've got a program here called How to Make $100,000 a Year on 25 Acres or Less. 25 acres, boys and girls. There are guys out there making $100,000 a year on 3 acres. Got that? 3 crummy acres can make $100,000 a year. With French intensive culture and the right crops like raspberries and blackberries. Now, 25 acres isn't all that much ground. Now, I pointed out to you that you could live in Arizona with 12 inches a year, 12 inches of rain a year, and make $100,000 on 25 acres. Well, in Arizona, maybe 50. You might need 50 acres. Now, if you can do that in Arizona, you can sure as hell do it in New Hampshire or Massachusetts or Virginia or Georgia. And I pointed out, down in Georgia, you know, you people are a bunch of spoiled brats down there. You get 50 inches of rain a year, and when it goes down to 25, you people down there say, oh, my God, we're in this terrible drought. We got this crisis. Crisis in Georgia, 25 inches. Hell, in Wichita, Kansas, they only get 20. They don't even get 25 inches. I haven't heard anybody crying crisis in Wichita. Well, at least not yet. Wait until the rainfall drops to 12 inches in Wichita, and then some guy's going to jump up and say, oh, my God, we have a crisis in Kansas. You know, you people run around here with this crisis, crisis, crisis all the time. If you get off your dead ass and go to work for a change and get off that communist crap and start practicing the Ten Commandments, things will turn around for you. Did you ever stop and think about that? You know, things weren't bad in this country until we adopted communism. We didn't have a problem here until we adopted the Federal Reserve System back in 1913 and then compounded it with House Joint Resolution 192 back in 1933. Things were going along pretty good. We're doing all right. Then somebody came along and said, hey, let's cut a fat hog in the back. That was FDR. He said, let's cut a fat hog in the back. It was FDR that introduced us to the mortgage concept, 10-year mortgages instead of 7. You remember God told us you got to have a year of release, you got to have debt-free? Franklin D. Roosevelt came along and said, God made a mistake on this 7-year program. I'm going to fix it for you. God bless democracy, huh? Well, okay. It was a choice we had to make, and we made it. Now we've got ARMs and 40-year mortgages on houses that you never pay the principal. You just pay interest forever. God, you talk about slavery. Now, you talk about bond servitude. Just pay interest forever. Boys and girls, interest, even by itself, is the definition for slavery. If you want to be a credit debt serf for the rest of your life, go get a mortgage on your house. Now, if you want to be independent and you want to have free and clear, now, that's another story for another day. But that's what's offered to you in the Ten Commandments. Land ownership is offered to you in the Ten Commandments. Financial independence is offered to you in the Ten Commandments. $100,000 a year in cheap, worthless Federal Reserve note paper, or the equivalent thereof, is what's offered to you in the Ten Commandments. God offers to pay you in gold and silver coin. You're the people that said we'd like to have paper. Worthless, irredeemable paper that inflates every year and gives us this hidden tax called the inflation tax. That's what we want in America. Well, okay, it's a choice that you had to make, and it's a choice that we made, but I would suggest that we could do better than that. Now, this top-down central planning over here is the problem. It's not the solution. And so at election time, your politicians come to you and say, vote for me for a change. This is Barack Obama. He's saying, hey, vote for me for a change. I like the Republicans. They're saying, stick with me. I'll give you the status quo. Hillary says that she's for change, too. What kind of change did Hillary propose? She's going to change her vote on drilling for oil in the Arctic National Wildlife Preserve? Is that what she's proposing to change? I don't know. Now, I don't suggest that you're going to start drilling for oil up in Alaska anytime soon. But when somebody's telling you that there is an oil shortage or that there's peak oil coming, you want to remember that that's true. They're not lying to you. Oil is a finite resource. There's only so much of it in the Earth's crust. And at the rate that we're using it, in 366 years, it's going to be all gone. In 366 years. And just keep in mind that in 100,000 years, the sun's going to burn out. That also is a finite resource. but that doesn't justify $100 a barrel oil in 2008. Not yet. Now, we've got peak oil, but that's politically motivated. That's not physically the case. And we've got coal-fired power plants that are just dirty as sin, which I think are really doing the world a service by creating more carbon dioxide to produce more biomass. But, you know, if you're opposed to carbon dioxide, what you want is more geothermal power. And you ought to be talking to your top-down representatives and say, hey, listen, let's get more geothermal power, and let's have less coal-fired power plants. You're not going to do away with coal-fired power plants until little guys like you and me put in solar power and stop buying power from the power company. That's the way you shut down the coal-fired power plants. You stop buying their product, and they will just go out of business. You know, if you'd stop practicing usury, then the usurers will just go out of business. If you'll stop buying insurance, you know what'll happen? The insurance companies will just go out of business. And when you stop buying insurance and you stop paying usury and you stop paying on that mortgage, you'll be practicing the Ten Commandments. That's a wild concept. And when you start practicing the Ten Commandments, you'll clean up the air and you'll do away with greenhouse gases. All the problems that we suffer in America, all the problems that we suffer from around the world are caused by communism. They're not caused by the Ten Commandments. It's caused by communism. And as soon as we go back to practicing the Ten Commandments, we can eliminate all of our problems. Just that simple. Hey, I'm about out of time again, kids. We're going to have to leave it right there and remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, remember, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, our time's about up. We'll have to leave it right about here and remind you that we'll be back tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course, until then. Thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.